I appreciate everybody's forbearance as we kind of change things around this morning, but like we said, there's not a thing wrong with that. I thought I knew what I was going to speak about last night, but it's all changed. So I want to go to the book of Philippians first, and just one little thing I want to pull out of there, and I think it's relevant to what we've said this morning. Well, I know it's in this book here somewhere. My little tabs have... Did I say Philippians? There we go. You know, we sang the song Trust and Obey. And if you look at that song, you might think, well, wait a minute. I thought we were saved eternally by the grace and power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are. This is not talking about going to heaven. Open your book to 306, and then we'll go to Philippians here a minute. This is weighing on my mind. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, how do you do that? Well, one way you walk in the light of His Word is right now. You come to... under the sound of the gospel. But you also can do that by picking up your Bible at home and reading the gospel. What a blessing, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, nor a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Now, we're not trusting in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and obeying Him in order that we might obtain eternal glory or eternal salvation. We want Him with us now as we live this life. And if we trust and obey His gospel and what He's told us to do, He'll shed blessings upon us. Third verse, not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Fifth verse, then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. What He says we will do, that's all right here. In the book of Philippians, the second chapter, I just want to pull a couple of verses out. And I want to point this out to all you grandparents and parents and great-grandparents that are worried about your children and your grandchildren and friends and things. Oh my gosh, what can I do? What can I do to help change their life? What can I do to make them look at God and honor God and do the things that God would have them to do? Well, let me tell you what, it's above your power. 12th verse, 2nd chapter of Philippians. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, that's crazy. You mean we got to work out our eternal salvation? No. How many of you ever been a member of a gym? You know, exercise gym? Raise your hand. You've all been there. All right. And you went there. What did you go there to do? To work out. To make your body stronger. To get physically fit. Now, could you have worked out in that gym if you didn't already have a body? If you didn't already have muscles that needed to be tweaked? No. You went in there to work out those things that you already had. Work out your own salvation. We're talking about your strength and your walk following the Lord. Walk. You know, when you follow the Lord in a more perfect way, that it saves you now. It saves you from sorrow, saves you from things that might come upon you. Y'all know that. And I could spend 3 hours giving you examples in my life how what I got out of the way and was condemned and lived in hell and was persecuted, but I was able to work that out by remembering what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had done for me and what he has told me to do in these scriptures here. Now it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. 13th verse. Now get this right here. And this is what you need to let your grandchildren know and your children know. And you need to know. It's not in your hands. For it is God. Who? For it is God which worketh in you. God's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Don't you think you've got to come up with it? God is going to give it to you. He's going to help you work out what you need to work out. For he's worked it in you. For it's God that's worketh it in you. Both the will and the to do of his good pleasure. My granddaughter's 24 years old. I don't know if she'll ever come back to the church like she did at one time. But I can't do anything about it. I've got to lay it even in the hands of my Savior. It's God that's going to take care of her. Who's going to work in her his power. Work in her the will and the to do. The will, the want to. She's got to want to go and worship the Lord. And the Lord, the Lord's going to, y'all excuse my stuttering. If the Lord gives her the want to, he's going to give her the will. She's going to go and do it. She can't refuse the power of our Heavenly Father. Some people think they can, and they try for years and years and years to do that. Some people think that they got to have a gong go off in the bedroom and a lightning flash or whatever in order to know that it's from the Lord. If you love the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's because he has worked that in you. It's his will for you to know that. It's his will for you to do that. And it's his will to do the things of his good pleasure. What's his good pleasure? You're doing some of it now. You're already doing it. His good pleasure is to come together as a congregation, to sit and sing and pray. Did we pray this morning? That was some of the most humble prayer I've heard in a long time. It was heartfelt, and I felt all of the ladies praying along with it. It was the Holy Spirit came into this room, and together we all prayed. And we lifted up our prayers, you know, and it's going to do good because the Lord loves it when his children pray. So I go back to this a lot when I think about my children or my family or my brothers and sisters, or uncles and aunts, and that it's not my job. The Lord is going to do it, and it's in his good time. Okay, thank y'all for letting me bounce around here. Let's go to the book of Luke. Now we're going to read some scriptures here about the birth of John the Baptist and then about Jesus. Y'all know that name, don't you? You know? And it's, the world says that the 25th of December is his birthday. Well, I'm glad that they acknowledge that Jesus was born. They can say it's any day they want to. They can say it's February 29th, every leap year, that's when Jesus was born. But when they say that, they're saying there is Jesus. Jesus is a fact. They wouldn't say that if they didn't believe that Jesus existed. Does that make sense? Anytime anybody tells, they might not believe what you believe or what I believe about things. They may think, but when they say Jesus, they're acknowledging that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus was his name. His title was the Christ. The Christ was the definition for Christ. The anointed one for the remissions of sins. And the anointed one, the one, the Redeemer. So I love it. I don't mind turning on the TV on Sunday morning and see some guy standing there preaching. He's got 4,812 people in front of him, and they're all there. What are they all doing? They're there acknowledging that Jesus is the Christ. They may not understand what we know. They may not understand things the way we see it. But amen, brother. If you're going to stand and acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the details we can work out later. And we don't have to work out the details because it's not our business what they believe or how they believe it. What, Brother Gary? It's not our business. It's the Lord's business. If he wants to give them light to see the things that we get to see, then the Lord's going to do that. He'll work out his will in them, the will to do the things of his good pleasure. So let's start in the first chapter, the fifth verse. Let's read about it. Y'all know this story, but there's some things as I've been reading this over this week, some things that just kind of popped out at me that I want to share. Fifth verse, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, if you go back to, I'll do it, Matthew 1 and 7, it'll tell you who Abia was. I looked at that and I said, what's going on? Who's Abia? I'll read this to you. And Solomon begat Roboam, and Roboam begat Abia. And Abia begat Asa. Abia was the grandson of Solomon. Would you like to say your granddad was Solomon? That's pretty cool. But he was Zacharias was a priest among the Jewish people, and his ancestor was Solomon. And it goes on back, of course, to Christ and to our Lord and Savior. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Aaron was one of the high priest. And her name was Elizabeth. So this is some pretty high echelon Jewish people, way up in the stature that this is talking about. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. You know, if you can walk before the Lord blameless, all the commandments, there's 413, I think, Judea commandments that they were trying to obey. That's something. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. Here's prayer. The whole multitude of people were outside the temple as Zacharias was in there praying and lighting the burning the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw it, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Now, how is that possible? To be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. He hadn't heard a preacher preach yet, and he hadn't said a sinner's prayer, and he hadn't accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. By what power did that happen? By the power of the Holy Ghost, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can go about wherever he wants to, do whatever he wants to. He can impress whoever he wants to, whenever he wants to. It's his business, and I can't stop him. "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before them in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "Hey man, what are you talking about?" And I'm going to ad lib here, so I'm an old man. "Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Are you pulling my leg?" Well, he shouldn't have done that. And the angel answering him said, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show these glad tidings." If an angel stood before you and said, "I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God," are you going to listen to him? Are you going to believe what he has to say? You're not going to argue with him, are you? Zacharias was letting his Jewish upbringing and learning, you know, get to him here. You know, I hadn't read about this. And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." Well, I would have done a backflip if it was me. And I just rejoicing that this angel standing in the presence of God has come to me to give me glad tidings. "And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak." What? Gabriel told him, you've been disobedient. You don't deny the word of the Lord. You don't deny my words that the Lord has given me to tell you. "Until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." You don't believe my words, they're going to be fulfilled. Until they're fulfilled, you're not going to be able to speak, Zacharias. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. Yes, he has. He saw a heck of a vision. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men." And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel, whoop, he's back again, same angel, was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So Gabriel's going somewhere else. "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Well, if I'd been Mary, my knees would have buckled right then, and I'd hit the ground. And I said, Hallelujah, you know, what are you talking about? And behold, thou shalt, not maybe, thou shalt, it's going to happen, conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto him, unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And angels answered her and said unto her, The Holy Ghost. We believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, don't we? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. How's this going to happen? It's going to happen. The Holy Ghost, the power of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. You know, they're all one Spirit together. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But we like to talk about the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost. But it's all our Lord and Savior. It's all God. It's all His Spirit. It's all His power. And he shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. 37th verse, For with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. You worried about that granddaughter? With God, nothing's impossible. If he puts his hand on her and touches her, she's going to buckle, and she's going to bow down, and she's going to work his will. And she'll come right back home. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose and went into the hill country, which was haste into the city of Judea, and entered into the house of Zacharias, that's where Elizabeth is, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. The babe leaped in her womb because he heard the salutation of Mary talking about the coming Messiah. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Let's stay in the first chapter of Luke. There's something else I want. Let's go to the 57th verse. There's several things spotted through here I want to bring out. Elizabeth full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. You know, just a little side note right here. Why did they circumcise their children on the eighth day? Because that's what the Lord commanded them to do. It was about the 1940s or 1950s that the medical community here in the United States, they said, well, looky here, we just figured something out. The best time to circumcise a young man is be on the eighth day because his blood clotting capacity is at its highest. Is that right, Kim? That's right. The Lord was telling them, giving them medical facts. Y'all do this on the eighth day. He didn't say because their blood were clot better. You just do it that way because I say so. So anyway, just a side note. And it came to pass on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, but he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around about them, and all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hills of the country of Judea. I hope y'all read better than I read it. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with them. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, the Holy Ghost filled Zacharias, and now he's got something to say that the Holy Ghost has given him. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." He's talking about something that's already happened. You know, with the Lord, yesterday is tomorrow, today is next week. 10 years ago is 12 years from now. It's all one happening. Something, you can be told that it hath happened, and we may not have seen that it's happened, but with God, it's reality. "And hath raised us a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercies promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." 77th verse. "To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remissions of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. So we got John the Baptist. Now let's quickly talk about the birth of Christ. I'm going to go back over here to Matthew. In the first chapter of Matthew, 18th verse, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost filled her up, and she conceived, and she's found with child because of what the Holy Ghost did. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." Joseph realizes now he's got a wife with child, and he knows that he hasn't been with her, and he doesn't want her to be seen if people are bound in the area. He's going to put her away, going to hide her. Well, I don't want this to be seen. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, I didn't say whether it's Gabriel or not, but the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph. Now this time the angel came in a dream. That's just the same. If it's in a dream or it's in reality, it's the angel appearing. Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost did it. Of the Holy Ghost. Born of God. If it's of something, the thing, something that's referred, did it. It did the work. Did the labor. You're born of God. God born you. If this child is conceived in her, it's of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost did it. And she shall bring forth a son. Now pay attention to these shalls and shouts. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Can we read that again? And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus is his name. Christ was his title. Christ is the anointed one, the Redeemer. For he shall give his children an opportunity to be saved if they'll repent and be baptized and say this prayer three times before they go to bed each night. I'm sorry, I was listening to those TV preachers. Let me try this again. She shall bring forth a son. Okay. Going to bring forth what? A son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. We're going to call him what? Jesus. For he shall save his people. His people from their sins. If you're not one of his, you're not going to be saved from your sins. Now we could get into who his people are, but the time's not going to allow that. And my old whatever I've got going on with me is going to wear out here in a minute. So it's all by the power of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. If anything happens to his people, they did it. I told y'all that joke about the lady that needed food, and she prayed and prayed and prayed to God. I did tell you that, Joe. If you weren't here, I'm going to tell it again. This lady, bless her heart, she was hungry, didn't have anything to eat, and she prayed, and I opened at her window, prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed to God to send her some food. Well, her next door neighbor, who was an atheist, said, I'm going to show her. I'm going to put some food on her porch tonight, and when she gets up tomorrow, that food will be there. And she got up the next morning. Hallelujah! God sent me food. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So she consumed that food and her family. Then they ran out, so she did it again. Prayed again. God, please send me some more food. We need it. My family needs it. And the old atheist over there says, I'm going to do it again. So he went and bought a bunch of food, put it on her porch that night. She got it up the next day. And hallelujah, praise God. He sent me some food. And the old atheist couldn't take it. He come out, aha, I got you. God didn't do that. I went to the grocery store all night, Kroger. They're open 24 hours a day. And I bought that food and I put it on my porch yesterday and today. God didn't send that food to you. And she says, well, hallelujah, it's better than I thought it was. Not only did God send me the more food that I prayed for, but he made the devil do it. So, anyway, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be. Let's sing a song. If you feel like that the God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost has been speaking to you, if you feel full of this love, if you have a love for this church, it don't have to be a lightning bolt. That's evidence that you're His, that you're His child. So as the song goes, we need to walk with the Lord. We need to trust and obey. Does anybody have a number?
570.
What number?
570.
570? Am I going to like it?
I hope so. I hope you do.
I'm just kidding.
I know you are.
It takes... when you sing a song for... For the handshake, it needs to be one we all kind of know, because we're going to be walking around handshaking.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So let's see how this one goes. Y'all stand and sing. And after we sing the first verse, if you want to exchange the right hand of fellowship with each other, let's do that, because we're in the Lord's house. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is here. I can prove it. I have heard of a land on the far away strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we never shall die. 'Tis the land where we'll never grow. Never grow, never grow, in a land where we'll never grow, never grow, never grow, in a land where we'll never beautiful home where we'll never more roam. We shall be in that sweet by and by. Happy praise to the King through the sing. 'Tis a land where we never never grow, never grow, in a land where we'll never grow, never grow, never grow, in a land where we'll never grow. Never grow, never grow, in a land where we'll never grow, never grow.